you have a questioning nature and a desire to nourish your essence within, you have reached the realm of truth. Live from Inner Space, it's the next sequel to Interactive Enlightenment, brought to you by your host, Seven Bomar. Enjoy nonstop breakthroughs, advanced knowledge, and self-discovery to the core of your very essence. Join us as we map the blueprint to the cosmos and dissolve the mysteries of the Matrix. You are now connected to the Keymaker.
Wholeness and balanced vibration to everyone, and thank you once again for tuning in to the Keymaker. Today is November 21st. It's Saturday, and wow, we're really staged to have a great time tonight. I've been running around as usual, and you know, I got a million things going on at one time, but I really wanted to transmit something today that's different on today's show because you know, I notice I'm just one of those people that I kind of look at things 10 years, 15 years ahead, and I do the calculations to see, you know, what is it going to look like? Is there going to be some major change? So today what we're going to be talking about is how to get that major change going on the planet and how you can be very instrumental in doing that by observing a lot of what's said today, observing also what you know, kind of going back and thinking in your mind of everything that's happened, everything that you've learned, how much it really means, and then beginning to formulate something new, something very innovative, to take this entire evolutionary honor into another phase of its existence. And I first wanted to start off by saying that, you know, I receive a lot of emails, thousands of emails, especially within the last 6 years, almost 7 years now. And man, I've just got some amazing people out there that have been listening to the message, some ever since the beginning, and then applying that message to their lives, or some thinking about applying it and then finally applying it and then seeing how it's transformed everything around them. And I would definitely say it changes people's lives for the balance. Cause notice some people can say, you know, it changed my life for the better. Some say, cause it changed my life for the worse, you know, depending on whatever message it is from different people. But I believe that this message changes people's lives for more balance. And the other thing is that, you know, it becomes, you know, I wouldn't say so much as a responsibility, because, you know, we always say it's either the man or the mission. And if you take all this onto yourself, then that's kind of the man versus the mission. That's when you're transmitting information that you need to follow yourself, an application of things that you've learned on your progress. And so what I'll say is that it's not so much as a responsibility, but it is something that I do consider. When I have this amount of people that do listen to the message and do listen to what I say, in a tense to, I want to make sure that I'm always keeping everybody way above the scale, or way ahead of the gun, if you may, by delivering something that is different every time and something that gives you more insight to what you're experiencing in real time on this planet. So the first thing I'll start off with saying is that I believe that I've somehow begin to breach the future and the different paradigms in the future. And I've been doing this for years now. And I think it started first with just the sheer belief that I can do it. And I think that this is why you're seeing so much of the Marvel comic stuff on TV now. I think they just came out with another series, Justice Jones, and they got The Flash that's back. And it just seems like the entire Western programming is just all Marvel comic characters now. And it's really to get everyone to just sit back on the couch and, of course, watch these characters that can do extraordinary things. However, for those in the synchromysticism, know it was an evolutionary trigger to begin to wake up those who understand that these abilities they do possess, and that even the sheer belief is the beginning of it. If you may, that's kind of like the faith. It's the inception, I call it. It's like creating it in another realm before it comes into the physical, because of course things are created in the ethereal realm, in a less dense realm before it comes into the physical. So with those evolutionary triggers and me even just catching hint to certain things like, you know, what breathing can do and what tones and vibration can do and even what certain elements could do, I began to really believe that there was nothing that couldn't be done. So once I began to stumble upon a lot of the books from the Eastern traditions, the ancient Eastern traditions, where it talks about the chakras more and it talks about the abilities of the chakras, it was at that point that I began to realize that this is something that somehow, in some way, that I'm going to be able to do, and it's going to carry me into infinity. And so that was how it began for me in this recent cycle, which I would say is last 6 years, to me breaching into the power of the human being. And a part of that is the time travel. It's the ability to begin to see time as a circle. And to really understand that you can go into different parts of time, mainly your own timeline, because that's what belongs to you. And then you can begin to see what's going to happen in the next 200, 300 years to you. What's going to happen in the next 5,000 years? Because surely you'll be here. And I've mentioned, not here per se on Earth, but in your consciousness, because I've always said, you know, a lot of people, when they hear about, you know, the sun goes supernova, but it's a billion years from now, so they don't think, oh, you know, I don't need to worry about it because I'm definitely not going to be here in a billion years. But as an immortal, you will. So I've always thought of those kind of things and said to myself, you know, how can I make sure that I'm steering myself through consciousness and through these different realities, realms, dominions, planes, to gain what I need to exist without fear, without question, without any kind of disturbances beside what's necessary at that point, then achieving balance. So that's been one of my major endeavors. And so what I've been able to do then is I've been able to almost reverse engineer thousands and thousands of years of spiritual knowledge and seeing, you know, our nature, like as the nature of humanity is we are storytellers. The nature of humanity is we do have entertainment. We do like to play. Like if you notice many young children and even young animals, they just play. So it's a part that's embedded within our very consciousness. So you have to realize that a lot of what we're seeing now and a lot of what has been developed is still been developed from that foundation or that fermentation, if you may. It's grown from that. And so we have to begin to, as adepts, but still wanting to remain childlike, begin to see how we're going to maintain ourselves into this infinite, these infinite possibilities when, if every day or every year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever, we get older and then we start getting more serious, you know, it's less of a playing, you know, you start seeing real things go into reality. Of course, even when you understand spiritual knowledge and occult knowledge, it's a heavy weight on the consciousness. Like you get really serious, you realize that, you know, it's all a lie. So all these things can take away that childish way about yourself. And not saying that that's a positive or negative things, but there's pros and cons to having that childlike behavior and childlike attitude. And a big part of that is actually being an inventor and being excited about life and excited about your existence. And so I do get, you know, quite a few text messages from people who are dealing with bouts of depression. It could be somewhat of as a roller coaster, this spiritual knowledge, because you hear about all these benefits and then you find certain depression in that others are not choosing to elect to be a part of those benefits, or that the world at large, government systems, et cetera, don't even seem anywhere close to accepting that. And then, you know, so it's a lot of sadness that's associated with the lack of expansion of humanity and just taking what basically is given to us. So today, I'm going to go through things that will empower you to get rid of that cloud of depression and to allow you to realize that it's still all on you, that it's like you're your own Messiah, you're your own Christ, you're your own evangel. But it's still up to you to metamorphosize into that. And the beginning of that is a strong belief and a strong will that it is, in fact, something that is real. and also something that you can participate in on the level in which you are satisfied with, not everyone else. Like, people don't need to see lightning from your hands. People don't need to see you walk through walls. It's about your inner standing and your access to your own inner space. So another part of this is that it's important to realize that we do exist on a hyperdimensional level. But Earth is very one-dimensional in the sense to the culture that people are submerged into. And what this equals is this equals a life that, let's say the average lifespan is 72 years, that you really sometimes have to choose one thing that you're really going to master, you're really going to do, and or you're really going to specialize in, and then that's like your whole life if you're going to get good at it. And so now we're in the face of that there's so many different things that we want to be and so many different things that we can become. We have a hard time choosing, and everyone deals with this, and especially in this era that we're in now, because, you know, the computers and, you know, technology and then money and all these different integers say, well, no, you should do this and, oh, you should do this. So what ends up happening is that sometimes you just end up doing nothing. Sometimes there just becomes a lot of data and just a lot of taking in a lot of information, just trying to get more better at whatever it is that you think for today that is going to be what inspires you and what you're going to work on for the rest of your life. But then something else new pops up. You find out they just discovered something new, and then now you want to be a part of that. So you can see how, like in the old days, you know, like your great grandfather, and, you know, he would have something, let's say a pair of shoes. And then you would see him in the back room and he would be, you know, repairing the soles on the shoes. And then you would say, well, granddad, you know, why don't you just get a new pair of shoes? And he said, son, there's no difference between those shoes that are new and these shoes right here. But you would see this difference. You know, like, well, no, this is more technological. These are a better design. These are, you know, these are the fresh. This is fresh. This is the new ones. But as you see, our elders, they weren't as easily fooled by the matrix's variations of the same thing. And they remained consistent in doing certain things, so that way they didn't get ADD. I think, or ADHD. The ADHD is affecting so many people. I don't think that it's something that is specific to a certain child who's got ADHD. No, it's just a part of this time and a part of this era with wanting to multitask so much that you can't even focus on one thing. So we're going to go into history. We're just going to go through the catalog, if you may, of my consciousness and what I've been able to absorb. And it's actually, I won't say it's my consciousness, because I've only adapted what I've been trained and what I know and what I've learned and what I've experienced. So in truth, we can't really say, until we get at least beyond the sun, that any of this stuff, from chairs to language to books to pictures to pixels to whatever, it belongs to someone specifically, because we're all sharing it. It's always been something that we've been doing for millions of years. And also that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect is that all is self, that everything comes from the all spark. Everything is a part of the same thing. So what could actually be different beside us making ourselves believe that there's something that's different? So we have to also begin to analyze and realize that that's also a big pitfall if we start to confuse the same thing for being a myriad of variations, because this is how you can lack focus. This is how things can get confusing. This is how you can feel like you have too many choices if you don't understand how to defrag and consolidate things. Like we talk about the Russian dolls, like just putting everything back into that one large doll, rather than having it all spread out, all the halves, and, you know, and thinking that it's all different variations and that your power is there. Because you can just do basic mathematics. Your power is not in division. Your power is not in continuously dividing yourself. Your power is in collecting yourself and becoming a part of the whole. And the interesting thing is you're already a part of that. So there's only some rewiring, if you may, that needs to be done in the consciousness in order for you to begin to make your way back or forward, depending on what direction you're going, into the merger of total self and total being. And so a part of of how this was sparked in my mind today to talk about this specific topic was we have to see to the future of consciousness to determine what we need to do now. Because now that we're, 2012 is 3 years ago, that was like the climax of it. And then now spirituality is basically an industry. You find, the Deepak Chopras and the, there's tons of organizations. Like we scan the internet every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we see what is going on. And it's just like, all these, bright-eyed, self-help, law of attraction style messages that are like $3,000 a course. And you see the, mainly middle class, upper middle class, especially women, between the 30 or let's say 30 to 45 range being targeted to get involved in this form of consciousness that is really a pastime. It's like it's just entertainment because it's not something that you can even do if you're under duress. It's not something that you can even do if you don't have loads of cash with some of these outlets. So when we analyze that, because that's the trend, we have to say, well, what's consciousness going to look like in 10, 15 years? Would it even be titled consciousness? Could it even be from what we understand spirituality and consciousness is? Because our ideas now will be somewhat like relics if it keeps going in the direction that it's going now. Meaning for consciousness for us is like the opening of the pineal gland, the awakening to multiple realms, the interaction with other vibratory frequencies that are all part of us, right? And then spirituality is something even deeper. It's the study of spirits. It's the study of what happened, the roots, kundalini, other life forms that have existed, vast intellects, macrobes. But at this rate, consciousness in the future will make those concepts null and void. Consciousness will become like a smile, just a smile on the face. It won't actually involve going through anything, even going through any real experiences. It'll be something that takes place in a room and in a seminar where the people leave out greeting one another like it's church, but without even Spiritu Sancti, without Holy Ghost, without any of that. That's the direction I see it going in. And this is through easy interpretations. And, this is realism. This is being a futurist, an innovatist, if you may. Seeing how it's all going to transform. They're going to go to World War III. Who's going to stop them? Conscious people? And so what we're going to talk about today is how to make that a reality. Like, truly, if you want to understand the energetic potential behind turning entire planetary systems into another direction, or balancing them out, you won't need to be at the same scale and the same scope of those who make those decisions now, but turn it into the direction that they want to turn it in. So we have to ask ourselves again, what is the height anyway that can be discovered within this ancient knowledge and ancient text? Like, this was the big question that I've been asking myself for the last 4 days after absorbing thousands of books, like every single book that you can think of, besides stuff that's never been published or stuff that's in someone's library. And I've gotten enough pieces of different things of that nature to where I can put together a whole nother book that would be just of mysteries, stuff that you never seldom see written, or stuff that's written in riddles. And we've talked about a lot of this. Like, I've kept nothing secret. But the truth is that when you look at the ancient texts, like the pyramid texts, the Bhagavad Gitas, what you find is that right now in this society, we believe that we're going to uncover something still. And that's why all this spiritual quest is really something in it's individual, because you may discover something. But it doesn't mean that someone else doesn't already know or that it doesn't already exist. So we have to, that's the beacon point for today's conversation. I'll say it once again, like, you may discover something. It may be an epiphany in a eureka moment for you, but that doesn't mean that there's no one out there that doesn't know about it and doesn't even know even beyond it. Because this could get a bit confusing for a lot of people. Some people believe that when they discover something for the first time, they're like, wow, if the world knows this. And I'm equally as guilty to that. I mean, 6 years ago when I wrote The Code of the Matrix, I said, you know, it's going to change everything. The world, the entire world's going to change. Now, my world changed. Thousands of other people that listened to the message, their world changed. But the world at large, the billions, they hardly even noticed. And you can tell that because of the numbers. Now, true, there was a ripple effect. There was a wave or a frequency. But that wave or frequency was just as strong as the amount of those who were involved. So if you have billions of people thinking on one wavelength, they're doing spirituality too. They're just doing the Islam. They're doing the Christianity. And then you have us in the alternative mode. Then how many of us versus how many of them? And then what is the impact to that? So, you know, think about that. So what I started to realize is that in the ancient texts, when you go back, the first thing that was really given as the secret was how to create. Because the entire scope of any kind of ancient spiritual text, the height of it is how to create, how to be like a supreme being. Once the knowledge of that we are supreme beings was lost, because you got to do the step by step, you got to reverse engineer it. So obviously the knowledge that we are the supreme beings was lost because someone elevated themselves above everyone else. Same thing that you see going on today with the governments, the popes, the pastors, the king. It was generally the king back then. And the people were debased. The knowledge was removed from them. And so any idea that you were a creator was stripped. And this idea of just being able to create children was downplayed. And then that's also what left our children vulnerable to what was later on to take place. Like we see now that the children are just vulnerable. Like there's really no one there to protect them from mass media and the brainwashing. So we take it step by step. So we see that the ancient texts really encompass how to be a supreme being, but it wasn't anything that needed to be written down. It was written on man and woman's soul. How to create, how to be a supreme being. So that's the first thing, because there's never anything that comes into the physical that's going to be more complex and more powerful and more instrumental than another human being. That five-base vehicle with the chakra centers and the hearts and the kidney and the spleen and the intelligence and the fingerprints and the hair and the different color and all of that. Like, you're never going to see that again by pulling base matter. This is minerals, silicone, chips. It can never equate. And this is what's so interesting, because when you start to simplify things, nothing that you pull from the earth in its mineral form and material form will be greater than the plasmic form, because that's the hierarchy of the mineral. So someone can create AI and it still won't, it'll only be a replica of what's being presented in nature and what's being presented in your body. So that was the great secret. And it didn't take, again, to be written down. So realize that. So these ancient texts, when people started writing about what was lost, first involved the knowledge that you are, in fact, a creator, and that you can take that power and create another physical version of you, especially when you're connected properly with someone who is in unison with you. And then you can take that vessel and vehicle and you can make it into anything you want. But so you see, everyone is off that now. They're not actually looking at their children as the key to their future. And even our ancestors were, I mean, think about what I'm saying. They're not looking at the children as the key to their future. But make it simple, simplify it. The children are our future. As long as we're not caring about them and worrying about what's going on with them, we're just worried about our own spiritual progress, then any kind of brilliance that's going to happen in the future is dimmed out. So this is not a doom and gloom story today. I'm just laying it out first. You know how I do. I lay the foundation so that you can also close the book on a lot of different things that may be troubling you, and also things that need to be put away so that you can get into true self and you can begin to come forward now to do what you're created to do as a creator. So we're going to be taking a break here in just a moment. When we come forward, I'm going to be going through the ancient history all the way up to the present about the peaks, the peak of what was given as knowledge, to show how today we have that knowledge. And in this, you will become somewhat disenchanted with the whole idea of spirituality. You, this modern spirituality, you'll break the spell of, you know, this talking all day about, you know, basically the same thing. And then what you'll activate within your consciousness is the ability to begin to find your way in the physical reality and cross it into the spiritual and in the mental with the power and the satisfaction that will pull you out of any kind of depressed state or any type of feeling that you may be powerless in all this, because that is false. You are very powerful and you're capable of doing some amazing things. And that was known since the beginning. So we're just going to refresh your memory. So let's go ahead and go to this break. And then when we come forward, we're going to get into it.
Show with Kev and the crew, Monday through Thursday on Truth Frequency Radio.
As ancient as the sun, we came from the ocean, once our ancestral home, so that one day we could all return to our birthright, the great celestial dome. We are the children of the sun, our journey's just begun. Some flowers in our hair.
All right, we're forward on the Keymaker. And it is now episode 3, and we've been talking about going over just the experience that we've had, not only in spirituality, but looking in thousands of years into history and thousands of years into the future to determine how we can really get some change going on rather than just an idea of change or a somewhat circular movement. So where we left off at the break is we talked about the height of spiritual knowledge. And I just want to, again, bring the dynamic into perspective here, because there's this, and I'm only talking from how I feel about this. And that just happens to be synchronistic to a lot of people that tune into this message, because we are for sure in a collective consciousness. And a big part of this is that, you know, there's going to be this book, especially in the beginning, you know, of these searches, that you're going to come across this secret word, or you're going to come across this special language, and then it's going to unlock all these mysteries for you. And what I'm here to tell you today is that we've unlocked those mysteries. So if we're still looking for something, if we're still trying to find something in what we have, we may need to just go over things like we're doing today and to determine, oh, wait a minute, I have everything that these ancient texts could ever contain. Like, there is nothing left that I won't say there's nothing left, excuse me. But what I'm saying is that there's an applicable knowledge that will allow you to get into every single other thing that you would want to know that is beyond anything that can be written. So there is nothing left, per se, to find out that you don't already know. You just have to re-examine what you know. So the next thing is that this knowledge, again, this hidden mysterious knowledge from the ancient times, is also supposed to contain some kind of information about time travel or hyperdimensional travel. And so this is something that we've looked into. So how do we break this whole spell of time? How can we exist forever? And then so many have been going into these pyramids and going to these ancient statues and trying to figure out, you know, where is this knowledge that gives us the power of how to accomplish what the ancestors already accomplished. But what we're forgetting is that we already have that knowledge, and that knowledge was revealed through much of the detail that encompasses what the chakras are capable of doing. But here's where you start to really realize what's happening, because none of this stuff actually comes without labor. See, to create something, let's just look at it. Like if I want to build a building, I'm going to have to go through some labor. Now, if we look at the original, I love the original. It begins with an O because it's showing you the original is the womb. The woman, the divine feminine, before all the electronics, before all the buildings, before the cars, there was an original creation that we can look at as a perfect prototype. And a part of that labor process to build a human, you know, there's even carrying the baby around. Like some women do have very gentle births. Some births are very painful. But what you see is that there's an underlining blueprint that's showing you that through labor, you got to carry this child around. And through birthing this child, and then even when it's birthed, the labors have just began. So it's the same thing with dealing with the chakras. The chakras are portals. They birth various things, powers, abilities, insights, because that's in the child, that's what you see, the power, you see the ability, you see the insight, and you see it begin to develop, but you're responsible for developing it, and that's the labors. So you can see why many people switched over to the books and switched over to vicariously living through others' supposed experiences. Rather than going through the labors, some of those labors are even challenging and overcoming fear. So there's a part of us that loves the storytelling. Like, okay, so you come back on this adventure, tell me what happened. Versus, how many people do you get like that versus people who go on the adventures? And this is just as diverse as you get like the X Game people. And they're like doing bat flips on snowmobiles. Okay, so the snowmobile comes down the wrong way, snowmobile comes on the head, we'll be hollering at you. Maybe next life. So a lot of people, they just like to watch that, but they would never jump on the snowboard because there's a fear of if that doesn't go right. So this is the same thing that you're dealing with. This is how you begin to cross it back over. The people who really time travel and get into their hyperdimensional experience, there's a learning curve to that. Some people are somewhat of naturals, but those who aren't, they have to go through that learning curve, and there's perils along the path. So there's many that are like, I don't know if I want to. I just like hearing about the adventure. I don't know if I want to actually go on the adventure. So we have to actually make sure that we check our consciousness to make sure that it's not doing that. So the next thing is a lot of people were searching through these ancient texts to find out what's going to happen. Like what's the end? And that's why books like Revelations have become so powerful, because they entail this whole disastrous end. But any adept knows is there's no end. It's old Ouroboros. If there's an end, it's only connected right to the beginning. So this sums up this idea that in this ancient text that we're going to find what is going to be the end of humanity, because humanity is immortal. When they say, oh, we survived these major cataclysms, like, it doesn't matter what happens. You can shrug it all off. It doesn't matter. You're still going to survive. If right now something comes and removes the physical body's ability to function, the much more ethereal, and it's not even the ether, it's also the water. 70% of your body is still going to function regardless of if it's all animated in this physical shell. So you have that, you exist, but see, that's why you have to believe in yourself. It's not just a statement to pump you up. It's a real text of, hey, believe in yourself. Believe in that water that you have that shall not perish. Even if we superheat it, it will turn into mist and raise itself to a place in which it will be stable. So the same thing with you. No matter what you go through, you will be transported to a place where you will remain stable. You do this automatically. Some call that reincarnation. And some of the last shows have been about looking deeper into reincarnation to make sure that we stay out of the whole the cyclic part of it, to where even the reincarnations are not taken serious. Even the reincarnations become like, well, I guess something else is going to handle reincarnation, not me. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to read about this time travel. I'm not going to try to time travel. You see? So it's that same thing. This is how we can start identifying all of it and where it exists at. And this is why you can take then the simple things about what you do and change massive things. That's all I say. You know, we are the trim tab. That means that's the little thing on the back of a boat. This is a big ship, Earth, but a small rudder. That means just one little variation changes everything. One little wobble throws everything into a whole nother polarity. The next thing is that power. You know, this ancient text that we're looking for, the power to live forever. And we talked about this already earlier, that there is no end. So, like I said, personally, I believe that people had gotten more afraid of living forever than not being able to stop it at some point and start over again. So we invented death. We invented dying. Dying is to divide, to get away from all those memories, to get away from all those experiences, to get what would be, quote unquote, a new soul, fresh, nothing loaded, so that we can start once again. Now you find a phenomena of where we actually want to go back and dig all that up now. We need to find our roots. We need, no matter what we have to deal with in our subconscious existence, we are willing to bear it and go through it in order to find some kind of relief. When the previous action was to actually get rid of it all so that we can have relief. You see, so this is chasing the tail. So this knowledge of infinite power was the next thing that these ancient texts supposedly revealed. You know, when I find this secret word, I'm going to rule the world. It's going to give me infinite power. But that's the fool. Because there's two different kinds of power. There's the power over self versus the power over others. And you'll often find that those who exercise power over others have no power over themselves. They can't actually control themselves. And that's what leads to that. But to truly enact infinite power, it is to have power over self. It is to, when the body says, hey, I want to do this, you know, I'm going to get this cheeseburger, man. You're like, no, man, I figured out cheeseburgers are not really what I want to do anymore. I'm not doing cheeseburgers today. Just test it. Like some people say, well, they'll argue with you. Oh, well, no, it's not all about not eating meat. Well, eat the cheeseburger then, because it's not even about just meat. It's about this meat and how it's prepared. It's about how it's killed. It's about what kind of chemicals are in it. It's about the flour in the bread. It's about the pus in the cheese. It's about this fake vinegar GMO tomato. It's about this fake fish tomato ketchup. It's about these genetically modified mustard seeds, mustard. It's about these yuca blends you're calling fries, which you still think is potatoes. It's about that. But see, the person who wants to argue, the person who wants to be in denial, see, that's the one who doesn't have any control. And see, this is something that even I have to go through. We all have to go through it. You have to back down this side of yourself that is causing the imbalances by just doing whatever it wants to do. That's why sometimes that's what fasting is about, just to test it. Just like, you know, I'm just going to hold off right now. Everybody's like, man, I want to eat. No, we ain't going to eat right now, homie. Oh, man, this is ridiculous. And then you'll find that there's another part of your consciousness that's actually not even you. It may just be the bacteria. They're like, no, I need this now. This is ridiculous. I got to get to this. And it'll even try to fight you. It will try to fight others. It will get angry. It will get upset. But what you have to realize is that that's when it's laid a trap for itself. or you've laid a trap for it. I used to call this laying traps for the devil. When I was early, and I'd be like, watch, I'm going to watch this. I'm just going to sit in here. I'm going to go into meditation. And then whatever is making the loudest noise and trying to disturb me, that's where I'm going to know then that that's where I need to patch the hole. That's where it's coming through from. That's the weakest link. That's what I need to strengthen. See, that's a part of the whole reverse engineering process. It's not taking this whole thing as your enemy. And it's not saying, you got to do this. And when you do this, well, you're going to get all these diamonds and jewels and infinite credits. It's not about that either. It doesn't mean just because you do one thing that all of a sudden you're going to have this great reward and everything's going to be over with. Balance is something that must be achieved at every single moment. Ask someone who's walking the tightrope. So it's just about challenging yourself. It's about getting into that interaction with yourself, playing with yourself, if you may. So that's what's going to bring that childhood and that childlike ability back out, is for you to begin to realize your hyperdimensional ability versus this narrow perspective of just, I'm James, I'm inside of this body, and man, I can't stand the way that I think sometimes, and I need to become a better person. And then it's like, whoa, 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 hit the brakes. Hit the brakes for a moment. You're a hyperdimensional being. Tonight, you're going to go to sleep and you're going to actually dream up a whole movie. You're going to live in that movie, even as if you're really real and experiencing that. And then you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to come back to Earth Prime and you're going to do something even different. So you need to realize that you are a hyperdimensional being. So you can work on many different aspects of self. And when you start to just simplify things, you kind of cover more area versus when you've made it all complex, like there's something specific that you need to stop. And now you got to go do this. And, it just becomes too much. You don't know where to start. So this is, again, it's about how to consolidate a lot of this and understanding what you've already achieved. You're already in the body. You're already connected. You could, if you can listen to this conversation and comprehend 70% of it, 60% of it, you already got all the, any knowledge that these ancient books, no matter how dusty, no matter what shape it's in, no matter what language it's in, no matter where they say it they pulled it from, is only going to encompass what's inside of you in a fraction, because there's only so much you can really put in there. The power to live forever actually takes us into the next aspect of things, like what is really going on in the reality with why the, let's say, so-called controllers have become disenchanted with ancient knowledge, even though they would have you believe that they know everything from the pyramid and, they put the Anubis up there and they put the hieroglyphs up there and they show the cone and then they got Nimrod back there. And then all that is just to show. You can see it's just a show by the way they don't philosophize. Like, even when you're talking, they don't say anything. Like, if you talk to a person who has immersed themselves into spiritual knowledge, I don't care even if they're trying to have a normal conversation. It always comes out something like, well, we're infinite. It could be about toasters. And then all of a sudden it's like, all these elements are pulled from the same source. You hear it come out. So if these so-called politicians, whatever, were so highly initiated into the craft of this ancient, glorious river to the bridge to the light, macro, metatron, alien, encrypted, Serafinius linguistic experience, then why the hell don't we ever hear an inkling of it come out of their mouth? It's because they don't have it. They have the show of it. They have the signet ring. But the one in which who bears the ring is not present and is made to actually believe that they have no connection to it. And I'm speaking of you. The power that you have can only be unlocked by you. Think about what we're talking about. Nobody can just get on the TV one day and say, now I bestow all power upon you. That's false power. See, that's how they play with the false power. They go, they want to knight somebody. Oh, now you're a knight. Now you have power over the land. You're a lord. You're Lord Mayor. You're president. You're CEO. You're CFO. See, that's false power, because real power, I don't care who says what, you cannot get it unless you're ready to go through the labors. Unless you're going through the labors of Hercules, which is going through the 12 chakras, you know, or the whatever amount of chakras that you need to go through in order to begin to come into total realization of self. But the reason why I wanted to bring up this power to live forever, because see, if we want to lean into a little bit of the science, it's the telomeres. It's basically at the end of the DNA. It's easier to see it like this, like a shoestring. And you know, back in the day, like you had these shoestrings, when you first buy them, they have these plastic rings on the tip so that you can thread the shoelace easier. But as the shoelace starts getting old, the plastic stuff starts coming off, and then the end gets all frazzled. That's called a telomere. It's on the end of the DNA. And what's been discovered is that the more frazzled that gets, that's actually what creates age in our body, because it basically messes up the conductivity and the communication between one strand to another. Not to mention, there's a way to send energy into other strands that are dormant. So this is the power to truly live forever. See, living is also a part of how much you're aware of who you are. That's why I say, man, I'm not alive yet. Even I'm transmitting this message, and there's great knowledge, and I've had great experiences, but I already know that this is not living yet by the true extent of what that would be, per se. Because total activation, like every now and then when you go into one of those experiences and it all turns on for you, now that's a lot more closer. Now you're at it. And so if you've had those experiences, you know what I'm talking about. So this power to live is actually this ability to actually be a hypersentient in the reality, not so much just being in the reality. You're always going to be in the reality. Grass is in the reality. But to what level of its sentience? How much access does it have to its chains? How strong are the telomeres or the connections between one thing to another? Can you recall? Can you remember all of what happened? Right? So this is just refreshing that memory. So to tell you the truth, this secret ancient text that reveals power to live forever, to truly live, is all within this knowledge about how you eat the right way so you don't destroy your body. How you think the right way, staying out of duality, which fries your corpus callosum, puts a lot of stress on your body. How to begin to nullify people's negativity so that way you're not damaging yourself. Have you ever had a situation occur that you thought was going on? Me and my wife talk about this all the time. Something will go on and then, you know, it'll bend us out of shape for about, you know, a day or whatever energy or time it can get. You know, some people always say, well, you need to apply that stuff that you be talking. It's like, look, man, I'm still human. I'm not a robot over here. Somebody just jumps all out of line and I didn't even expect it. I'm going to actually respond. But then after you respond, let's say the next day later, you find out that it was even transmitted the wrong way and that it was nothing to worry about. Maybe the person came back and apologized. And then don't you feel, you would use the term this now, don't you feel a little stupid? Like you just wasted like a whole 2, 3, 4 hours of kilojoules for no reason at all because what you thought was going on wasn't even going on. Not to mention, we're all looking to get to that point to where we just don't even react to the stupidity. And it's hard. I even asked the question the other day. I was like, man, I wonder how long it's going to take me, because I've been working on this for 10 years solid, to not react when I see something so idiotic and ignorant going on that I feel like I need to interject. And I just come in with the, you know, waveless, you know, I'm not sending it or receiving it and just responding in the way in which needs to be I need to respond and then just go on to the next thing. That's what I work to. Those are the bars that I set for myself. But still remember, this idea of living forever, if you think that it's so elusive and so mysterious and non-existent, you're wrong. The knowledge has already been discovered of total regeneration for the body and the mind. You know, the soul is a whole nother thing. But the thing is that the same people who are in possession of that knowledge, they won't give you $10 if they stop by you at the night and at the light and one of them big ass Mercedes, and you're there with your cardboard sign up there talking about you need a little bit of change. So what makes you think that they will release the knowledge of total regeneration of the mind and the body to a population that they want to control? See, this population control is not just oh, well, let's control these people. It's not let's control the amount of these people. It's let's control the amount of their consciousness. That's population control. Because see, when you know, when you truly live, see, we're not talking about just this living on and on and on and on, like you're not going to die. And then, because everything's really going to get meaningless then. I was listening to someone speak today and they said, yeah, you know, the brilliant thing still about being immortal is that this time thing gives people urgency. And with that urgency, they do actually create things and try to figure things out. Versus if they had this infinite amount of time with the attitudes that they have now and the culture that they're in, you would only see like a paramount amount of laziness and lack of will. Think about it. If people just knew that they had 1,000, 2,000 years to live, what would they really be doing right now besides laying at the beach, surfing, smoking, whatever? Nothing to create something because, you know, you can leave. We could do that 100 years from now. Like right now, I'm just chilling out. I'm doing this right now. It's like talking to a person that's 20. It's like, look, I'm trying to have fun right now. When I get 30, 35, that's when I'm going to start getting serious. But other than that, don't bother me. So if you had 1,000 years, it's like, well, you know, look, I'm only 500 right now. Catch me when I'm about 900, and then we can start getting serious, because then we'll have a whole 100 years. This is what you would be dealing with. So this whole idea of time is useful for this culture because it gives them that, well, you know, I only got 72 years. I better spend this, you know, wisely, especially when you get older. So think about this, because this is some real stuff. But again, that knowledge of how to regenerate yourself, remember, it's in the tips of your DNA. And then a simple part of that inception of yourself, that belief that you can regenerate that, it starts to do it. But then also remember, this is not just so you can hang out until you're like 150 and you're still watching the whole Bush, Cheney, Baghdad, ISIS situation. Like, I mean, why? I wouldn't want to live 200 years in this kind of reality, but it's about activating that higher level of potential. And then it's also about, if you crack it, introducing others to it. And then all of what is caused from that great wave. Another thing I said earlier, I don't want people to get confused about, when you do powerful things, you do send a stronger wave. So it could be 100 of us that believe in concepts like what you see in the Code of the Matrix. But that 100 will still stand head to head with 100,000 of those who still believe in a Santa Claus in the sky with a white beard that's ready to judge. Okay? So the strength of the idea will prevail. The strength of the consciousness and the will within the consciousness will prevail. So we're going to take another break here. There are some questions that I need to get to today. So I'm going to be finishing off today's message because there's a bit more here, but I want to make sure you understand that you have everything that any kind of ancient knowledge could ever teach you. So you can start delegating your time and your energy, as we're going to be talking about here, in becoming more of who you are. Really. And that's what we're calling truly living.
Truth Frequency Radio.
And we're forward, everyone, at the Keymaker Episode 3. And we're talking about basically the ancient texts and how anything that could be revealed within the ancient texts, we've already found out. So instead of recollecting to the past and that there's going to be something that's uncovered that's going to change everything, we're encouraging everyone now to look into self and with that begin to truly live and to begin to create an amazing future. And so I'm going to get into the last part of today's message, and I'm going to go right into the questions because, you know, there's quite a few questions that still need to be addressed. There were still even some that were left over from last week, but this is a great pretense to have in order to address those questions. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about was, has the knowledge of becoming a supreme being been exhausted? And my direct answer to that question is no. That there is so much more to learn and to experience within self, within the cosmos, within nature, the plants, the animals, the trees, and who they really are, that makes for us a university. That's what the universe is. It makes for us amazing lessons to keep learning and things to keep experiencing. But I find that we do have to be activated to a certain potential of ourselves to be able to truly realize what that's all about. Meaning that when we look into ourselves deeply and we find that activation within, then we're able to look at, well, oh, wow, this grass is really alive. This cactus tree is really alive. Well, that bird, it has light coming from it. So there's all these different things that we begin to notice about nature and about the cosmos and about the things that are around us, like breath. Oh, my goodness, breath is like a fuel. I can feel it going through my body. It has this power. You know, I feel my chakra. My chakras are moving around. So there is something that is required from us to begin to experience that supreme being within. But I also say the next question is, so has the knowledge of the formulations of Earth been discovered? And to that question, I'll say yes. That when you talk about the bubble, let's say just what goes on inside of the shell, what goes on inside of Earth, how Earth is developed, how to begin to develop different life forms, all of that has been figured out. And I believe that that is what has created what we're calling today science. And why science is somewhat disenchanted with history. And they don't like the occult knowledge and things of that nature, because there's this still ever pervading knowledge that all of this is just about the formulations of Earth. So understand the difference here. So there's this huge scope of knowledge that talks about being a supreme being. And that knowledge is not even thought about. It's rolled into all the same category of formulating things on Earth. How did Earth get here? See, that's the limited state of consciousness. So the limited state of consciousness has sought to find out, well, I want to discover God's secret. That's seeing God as an external being rather than something within. So notice the process of error. I want to see what goes on with God. Okay? And then how God created everything. And then so on that mission, what science has come up with is finding the origins to stem cells and finding the origins to how magma and layers of the earth and strata and minerals and carbons. This has led to what you see in Merck and Pfizer, where certain chemicals can be put together to cause different reactions. You can see this within chemistry, to where you can even take certain elements and then they'll smell like strawberries, even if they're just powder. They even taste like watermelon, even though it's not at all watermelon, but it has all the genetic compounds in the string of the watermelon. So that's where they left off. And see, that's the limited mind, because at that point, that's when they, and we have to use that term at this point, that industrial complex figured that, oh, well, we already know now about the supreme being. We know what how the supreme being creates everything. But that's where they were mistaken, because it's not just about Earth on an external level. That's a big part of it. That's the mirror. But it's still about that ever-evolving development that goes on within. And that's what they missed out on. And that can never be exhausted, just as your energy can never perish. But because they went off on that assumption, like, okay, well, you know, well, now we have all this knowledge. We have God knowledge. We've become God. You know, just like Oppenheimer said, you know, I've become death. I'm now the destroyer of worlds. I've found the atom. I've split the atom. And they're acting like, well, that's the end. But how much personal development had gone on? Like when you see the Oppenheimers, there's an external exclamation that he thinks he's become the supreme being. But inside, he's done nothing. So notice the difference. There is an external and there's an internal. And that's why we talked about earlier. We talked about there's a difference in having power over yourself or having power over others. And one leads to no progress. If you have power over others, that doesn't say anything. And in fact, engaging in that kind of thing means that you actually have no power over yourself. You've allowed yourself to go wild, if you may. So the next thing is that now we then deal with the desire to go beyond versus the desire to remain here. And this is what this is about now. That these people who have discovered the formulations of Earth, they have only a desire really to remain here and control this. True enough, they talk about that they're sending these rockets out there and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just talking about the masses. I'm not talking about that little 1% of the 1% of the 1% that may know of something different. I'm talking about the massive in those complexes, in those military industrial complex, in the scientific industrial complex. They just have a design to remain here and a desire to remain here and just keep developing in the systems that they develop, keep getting their checks so they can go and get their timeshares and that whole cyclic process, and then maybe be accredited to finding some new strand or some new organism or something like that, and that'd be the height of their 72 years. There's no desire in their consciousness to go beyond because they've nullified the idea of beyond by imagining for themselves that they found everything out when they found out the formulation of just what goes on in Earth and how Earth is created. So do you see how it works? If you become limited by the scope that you give yourself, you can become limited by the boundaries that you give yourself. So if the idea is let's figure out what goes on externally, not what goes on internally, there will be a limit to what goes on external versus there will never be a limit with what goes on internally. So let's keep moving from here. So the secret, of course, to regeneration, as we talked about earlier, was cracked. And we know that that knowledge is not going to be at Walmart. The secret of activating the DNA strands is cracked. That's what you find in these complexes of them actually beginning to manipulate the DNA to see what the potential of changing certain things are. I'm sure there are those who begin to unlock abilities. I'm sure those who have unlocked abilities are also looked at to see, well, what's unlocked in them versus not unlocked in the standard individual. I'm sure all of that's already been done. So the next thing is this spirituality then, as we talked about earlier, become a subject because of this. It's like, okay, well, you know, this is, and I was listening to this scientist talking today. I think that was DeGrasse. And, you know, why I liked some of the things that he said, there was still this whole idea that everything like Zodiac and all this stuff could be logically explained within science and the way that people believe that the Zodiac does affect them and that's not true, but it is true. So you could see how it just all starts to really lead into we got those who work externally and look for their truths, and then we have those who work internally. And those who work internally seem to have a great level of progress. So you don't have to worry then about having to go somewhere to get something, to find something, to unbury or uncover or unearth something from an archaeological dig when you have all of that right there with you. And that's the importance of being this hyperdimensional being, because you have these various aspects of being able to go deep into yourself. And it will never let you down. It will never be concluded. It has the fuel and it has the energy to run infinitely. So now then, life is either the choice, and this is not a choice I'm making for you, but to multitask, so you have the multitasking versus focusing on one thing. And we know now that life is demanding that we learn how to multitask and focus at the same time. I mean, we have children, we have jobs, we have our own spiritual progress, we have all these different things. And so we now have to step into this grander being of ourselves. And that's what we talked about, the oversoul. I have some shows that I'm going to release that I did on Positive Head Radio that came out really well. And they get deeper into this whole idea of beginning to learn how to focus, but then also being able to accomplish that in a world that demands that you multitask. So how you get this multidimensionality within yourself, but this laser focus at everything that you point at. So we have this need then for some major innovations. We have some need for some pioneers in spirituality. Because as you'll see, as it rolls itself out, if someone doesn't come along or something doesn't come along and begin to make real actions into improving the conditions that we're dealing with every day, if we stay in the books, if we don't invent anything, then the cost of that to our children, which is our future, that's what we talked about earlier, will be detrimental. We won't see that beautiful future in the creation in which they can create. Like, we have to realize that one major breakthrough in who we are activates the timeline across the continuum. I mean, we're talking about great, 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 great grandmother coming back or forward. We're talking about things beyond what anyone could ever conceive because it wasn't in the mind of the consciousness of those who were trying to conceive things. That's what our children have to deliver. That's where all of our treasures are laid up. And the more efforts that we put into ensuring that they have those mentors, ensuring that they have the tools, like we talked about before, like when do you see games or anything that actually boosts the consciousness of others? So this is a major thing. We have to begin to realize that, okay, I'm here to do this. And I'm going to talk to you today about how to tap into the ability to do that. And that's going to get us into the questions here. So we also need to now realize that this topic of spirituality can be that one-dimensional thing that we're doing when we need to also multitask. So spirituality is basically these books, the chakras, the crystals, etc. But there's also the world that's moving around us. And there's also, if you are trying to implement something into this world, understanding the trends and understanding how to place something properly. Because I've also gotten emails from those who are asking, you know, I'm making real progress. And I actually go to those questions now, but they're saying, I'm making real progress in the spiritual arena, but man, I'm still trying to figure out how to land a job. So let me look at the time clock real quick here. Excuse me. Okay, there we go. So the first question is, The person asks, is it all me projecting the reality or does something ever get in the way and create what it wants? And I'll repeat that again. They say, is it all me projecting the reality or does something ever get in the way and create what it wants? So what I believe is this idea, and it sounds great, but this idea that we create and project our own reality, I think is a yes and a no kind of thing. And the reason is that, first of all, how much can we say that we're actually creating? Because in the true aspect of creation, that means that you've brought something forth. It's yours only. But if there's chairs, if there's cell phones, all of these things, while they're choices that we choose to incorporate them, their actual inception and creation could be on someone else. So this is when we start realizing that this is a collective. We start to knock ourselves in the head for one moment and say, yeah, you know, we talk about how, you know, you create your own reality, you project your own reality, But, and this is where the paradox comes in, but you're doing that inside of a reality that functions on a hive. This is the phi-based reality that we all live in. Two arms, two legs, a head. So this is very key to realizing that it's about really understanding that there's a collective frequency. And when we become instrumental in shaping and forming and fashioning that collective, then we can say that we're projecting the reality or we're influencing the reality that is around us. So if I'm still using things, like I pick up a toothbrush, the toothbrush was someone else's creation. Like I'm just brushing my teeth with it. It fits. You know, it's probably made by Colgate. You know, I have a computer in front of me. This is from, you see, so how, when you incorporate, let's say 80%, 90% of something others have contributed into the reality, let's say, how much of the reality can you say that is actually your creation? So this is where we get once again into the difference between external and internal. Because how you feel about it, how much credit you give it, how you feel it may be instrumental or detrimental, all of that is still based on you. That's what you control. And this again gives us a key about understanding that that's why in the external reality, when you're trying to have power over the external and have, then you are trying to have power over others. When the only thing that's required is to have supreme mastery over self. Because then you see the underlying equations to everything. You see how it all begins and you know, well, if I bring this in, if I bring this stove in, then there's going to be a power bill. And if there's a power bill, then I'm going to have to get a job. So you'll start seeing the ripple effects of every single item that's bought in from the collective and how it leads into actually joining once again with the collective. You see, because even if you build this, you know, huge structure, you know, and it's got all this, you know, innovation in it, you're still going to need some people there to assist you with running it. So what I say is that there's not a problem per se with the idea of us all creating and projecting a reality. Where the issues will come in is if you don't know or don't understand how to manage that within your own personal consciousness and how you interact with those things. So that's what I have to say to answer that question, is that you have these collective frequencies. And these collective frequencies function on harmonics. Like we all have hearts. Most of us. We have spleens. We have kidneys. And this is what we're sharing as a group, as a collective. And that's what causes the synchronization. We are a family. We have a biorhythmic connection. And when we're segmented off, that's the only time that we believe that what others are doing is not affecting us. When we isolate ourselves, that's when we believe that what others are doing is not affecting us. But truly, it's affecting us in some way or another. So when you see Earth in pain, when you see people around you in pain, if you ever wonder, well, hey, why do I feel depressed today? Why do I feel tired today? That's the frequencies and the waves of the collective. And the only thing that you can get better at, per se, is beginning to regulate those energies within and to place them properly by realizing their true origins and how we're all going through these labors. And this will also give you a bigger insight on what's happening with the world. Instead of seeing it all as, oh my goodness, you know, this is just chaos. Like maybe this is, you know, we're on the brink of Armageddon. It's all going to be over. And now we talk about, I mean, anytime there's darkness, there's always an equal measure of light. And eventually all we'll see. But it's also showing that, as we talked about earlier, there's no major creation that goes on without some labors. So if you see all these labors happening in the reality around you, that means that there is some type of great reward, if you may, or a great future for all of us looming. And it will come from the lessons that we're learning now of our separateness and our lack of willingness to get along with one another and to find common ground with one another. And again, how much have we really self-created? Because every single thing that's here is a part of the whole. And then last but not least, you do have the mind control lingering, which comes through many of the media outlets. You have the TVs, you have Wi-Fi going through there. You have all this suggestion, all these frequencies that the body can pick up. Even when a person's in that heightened state of their consciousness, when they may have used some chakra activating element or breath, you can hear the signals. You can hear the frequencies that are always present. Like if you're in the bathroom using the phone and the door is closed, the wave has gone through the door. It's gone through the roof. It's penetrating through everything. The signal is there. And your consciousness is picking up on that signal. Then it becomes just how you're responding to it. Are you aware of what's going on? So the next question is, can you touch on the Mandela effect? And what this is about is a website, and I believe it's called that. I believe it's called the MandelaEffect.com, or you could just type that in Google and you'll find it. And what this entails is that there are certain things that are going on in the reality that many people have a recollection that was actually not the way it went. And the reason why it's called the Mandela effect is because the author of the site says that in his recollection, Mandela had died in jail. Versus in this reality, Mandela had actually made it out of jail and, you know, went through his whole process after that. And he has listed maybe 30 or 40 things, and the list keeps growing, about stuff that was going on in the past, like even things like Curious George having a tail versus now Curious George doesn't have a tail. Things like the mirror on the wall being changed to magic mirror on the wall. And that if you go and pull all the DVDs, now they all say magic mirror on the wall, when back in the day it was only mirror, mirror on the wall. So I think that some of the stuff that's being brought up is plausible, because there are some recollections in my mind that things were a certain way. And I've talked about this on other shows, that there's certain slight variations in the reality. And only if you're a stickler for detail do you really notice them. Things that have been changed as if there could be some kind of reality altering and reality swapping going on. And again, I'm just answering a question here, so I'm not really going to get deep into this topic, even though it is something that we've covered in past shows. But it's really about, well, how far has third parties, of course, organizations that have are internally funded, let's say like IBM, even Mercedes, let's say companies that have a huge amount of influence and also a high influx of income, access to lots of different types of resources, and also a part of those resources being highly intelligent people, and then also the ability to blanket entire countries, entire planets, if you may, to sequester information and ability. How far have they truly taken it with how much the reality can be altered? But even more important than that is, what can we do about it? Like, I always find that to be the most important thing. Like, what can we do about it? Like, am I going to burn my brain up on thinking or coming to the conclusion that someone has a reality altering device that can land us in any point in time with slight variations to the reality where the past has been altered to create a different type of future? Or am I going to focus on more of, what am I now? Like, where am I at in my present state of consciousness? Because that's the only thing that you're going to be able to know, if you know self, has not been tampered with and altered. So while the entire reality can change around you, and many who have used chakra activating substances such as breath have witnessed, it still does not change per se who you are within. It can only enhance that. And we watch the reality melt, basically pixelate. We watch objects that appear to be one thing shift entirely into something else as we're going through different wavelengths and frequencies. So what I'll say is, how much more different is that? That's the true mandala effect. That's one that you're witnessing right now, is that you can be looking at, you know, a plant, a mineral or something, begin to breathe, and then watch it pixelate and even watch it disappear or watch it take another form or even watch it attempt to communicate. But that is not something that the standard person witnesses in the reality on a day-to-day basis. Got one more half. We're going to answer the rest of these questions. Then we're going to get into expansion.
Revolutionary Radio with Rob Skiba, Thursdays on Truth Frequency Radio. That's
all right, wholeness and balance vibration again. We are at the last segment of the show, and I do thank everyone for tuning in. It's been an amazing time, and, you know, we're just really digging into the meaning of life and the meaning to the experience that we're having here and how to get more out of this experience and how not to follow into these same circles or cycles and even circuits that we're dealing with in the reality, to where there's a lot of exclamation of what we should do. There's a lot of suggestion. There's a lot of things written. But we may find ourselves just observing that, watching that, and not actually making the move that's necessary to make it a part of our reality. We're talking about becoming pioneers. We're talking about not allowing what others believe is the way that things should be done and how they have to be done to affect us and what we know we need to do. Because I'll tell you this, all I've dealt with since this began is people telling me what I can't do and telling me what I should not do. And, you know, even when we started off getting rid of religion, so you can imagine just how much that kicked up of individuals saying what was not allowed. But here we are 6 years later, and not only have we found ourselves more lighter and more free, we've also found ourselves being able to open up into a whole different expanded level of consciousness for ourselves. So this makes us not be able to, or it makes me personally not be able to second guess myself in the choices that I make, because those are the things that I'm going to have to deal with. Now, true enough, there are many people that listen to this message, and I always take that into account through integrity. But that also means that when something needs to be said or something needs to be done, that I have to consider when is the time to do that, and to do that without any latency. And so a part of it, this is that, hey, I'm just telling you, watch out for this whole spiritual thing and this spiritual bag that this movement and this industry that has started up is trying to put everything into. Because to me, it's becoming rather redundant. Like me personally and this network, you know, the Resistance, even TFR, who mixes it up, you know, the Secret Energy, Astral Quest, Realm Dynamics, for 6 years, 7 years now, we've been pioneering and innovating the approach to beyond spirituality. We've gotten even out of the study of spirits, which spirituality is. And in fact, that was a study that I felt that wasn't even something that could go to public per se, because a lot of people have fears. You know, when you're talking about, you know, Abdul Hazred, when you're talking about the genies of the desert, when you're talking about why sand can turn into glass in high heat, and how wandering beings that have wandered for thousands of years across regions that they can't find exits to, you know, when all of that, that's not for this particular segment of public transmission of consciousness. That's for the inner sanctum. That's for if you have a path or a calling to connect or know about something that equals a much deeper path for you. So that's not so much as public knowledge. But what is public knowledge? And I'll get into this next question, which says, how do I ascend the financial trap? And the context to this question, because I just shortened it, was the person's making massive spiritual progress. But that progress is thwarted because they have to continuously go back and figure out, well, how am I going to put food on the table? You know, can I find an asylum? Can I find an ashram or someplace that will take me in for free? And if I did, will I really want to be there? Because you want to have that individual personality per se. You want to have that sovereignty and freedom to be, go and get a loaf of bread if you want to, you know, not counting on someone else to provide for you. And so this is a part of what I say is a diversification of the message by crossing into other arenas that we are equally as talented and gifted in. And what I mean by that is that before I started delivering a message about how to awaken self to the public, I still was excelling in what I was involved in then. This is not my claim to fame per se against what many people believe. There's other things that I can do. Those who have visited me will see that. They see that I'm heavily involved with inventing. I'm heavily involved in the top trends when it comes to 3D printing, when it comes to creating, fabricating, when it comes to injection molding, those kind of things. Because to me, to have that knowledge of how to create, to have a maker space, is going to put you in a position to be able to deliver in this reality, to begin to deliver things to not only others, but also to begin to create something to where you can help in other aspects. And so what am I talking about? I'm saying that for me personally, I always look to create and to develop things that are going to assist others. However, everything that I'm involved in doesn't solely have that purpose, meaning that sometimes I get involved in things and I generate capital from those things, and then I pour that capital, as I've been doing for the last 6 years, into the network so that it can continuously expand more outlets of how people can become conscious. So that's what I call the filter. Because if you didn't notice, but for people to adapt to something like even paying for anything that has a spiritual context, it doesn't really meld very well. So when you're looking to innovate and you're looking to create something massive, where is that all going to come from? You just, you know, you're running around with your hand out. You ask people, hey, you know, can you think you can help contribute to this? Next thing they accuse you of that, hey, this is a whole money outfit. So I call this, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You go to try to invent something and create something. If it has one circuit running through it, one wire, you're a transhumanist. You'll try to introduce someone to a substance that may assist them with breaking through and uncracking all that calcium around lots of their glands. And if it may be a plant, now then you're a drug addict. If you go and you show someone some ancient picture of an entity that may have been trapped inside of the pyramid that was accidentally released and then wreaking havoc on the individuals that released it, now you're a devil worshiper. And so this is what I've faced. And it's been years and years of this. And that's why I say, it's not about what goes on outside of you then. It's about how you're taking it in the inside. Because if it was about what was going on outside of me, they would have had me hang it up, retire. That would have stopped before I even started. But it was the sheer will the power that was attached to the message itself and the awakening that I had that has driven it to this point and will drive it even further into infinity. It's not going to stop. But there are some things that are going to change. Because, see, ascending that financial trap, because if you ask someone and say, hey, you know, can you contribute? And someone gives you $100 and then they feel like they either own you or they feel like you've leached them, but yet they will go spend hundreds of dollars on some gym shoes. Or if you look at corporate offices and you see hedge funds and big mergers and billions of dollars are coming across the table, but yet consciousness is barely funded at all. So it's a lot of this. People don't know who to trust. And that's the other thing. See, when you're dealing with spirituality, quote unquote, and consciousness, quote unquote, see, people are coming to the awakening of damage that has been done. They're coming to the awakening that they've been mind controlled. They come into the awakening that they've been lied to. So anyone who starts to go through that process of recovery also is very vulnerable in the sense to they feel very sensitive. So anything that happens, you say the wrong thing. If something is perceived to them that you've done the wrong thing, then they're so ready to cross you out. So ready to go to others and tell them that you're not anything, despite everything that they may even know up until this point, or what catalyzed them into the stage that they really are, may have come from just that word through you. So this is the experience of why some may think it's that easy to just jump on the radio. Try jumping on it for 6-7 years and then keeping it coming. But then also see in the future, what is it going to be in 10-15 years? For it to grow, not for it to remain the same. I have no interest in it staying the same. I have no interest in getting on this radio, repeating the same thing to you. That's why we don't repeat. We call it vain repetition. They may recite right from the book as if it's their own words. This comes right from the dome. It comes right from the consciousness. 3:30, 4 o'clock a.m. in the morning, I still have the most brilliant ideas. It's just about whether I'm awake enough to want to write them down. And these days, it's about why even write them down when it's going to take hundreds of people that are on the right wavelength to actually fulfill this. Is the dream too big for the collective mind? Can it be accomplished within a few individuals? Where's the cornerstone? Are we only looking to the capstone? We want to see what it's going to be like once we all awake, but we don't want to do what it's going to take to awake everyone. You see? So this is what you deal with when you're serious about this. Now, when you're playing, when you have the ability to just tune in and tune it off, like, oh, all right, that's enough for me tonight. That was some good stuff. Let me go ahead and, you know, I guess I probably can catch the last part of Justice Jones. See, when it switches off like that, see, I don't have that courtesy. And the people that are around me, generally, the closest ones, they don't have that currency to delegate to that. Listen to what I said. So those who are complaining sometimes about their current, if you pour your energy into something and you don't have a reservoir, an exhaustible well, you're going to spin. That's your aura. Your aura is spinning. You're going to spin for that. If you're in front of the TV and you're getting all excited, they shot somebody, they killed, he jumped off the cliff, she froze, all that, what you're going through, that's pulling your strings and it's spinning you in one direction and another. Now you're spun, you're done. You just spend all your money on the TV. Literally. So to begin to get out of this financial trap, you have to be innovative. So if you find yourself a little rusty on ideas, because that can happen too. There's tons of samples of people who may have run out of inspiration. Go to the outlets where there's trend-setting, brilliant inspiration going on all the time. So you may not agree with everything that's there, but you'll find something and then it'll click. I'm talking about your Kickstarters and your Indiegogos. See, that's the spirit of creativity. I mean, you see the guy who created the Glowforge, the first laser cutter, the desktop laser cutter. 30 million 1 month, 27 million, 1 month. Now, we're not just going to talk about numbers here and talk about money here, but a million a day? Yeah, I'm sure we could do a lot with consciousness then, especially if it's going right into the faculty. But of course, that's not about consciousness. That's about cutting leather and cutting cardboard and cutting plastic and cutting acrylic. Now, true enough, I could take a device like that and begin to somehow metamorphosize it and transmute it. So you see, we're the transmutation. We are the alchemists. We take this dirt, which is what the reality has for you. You turn on the TV, it's some dirt. See, in the street, they call dirt the bad stuff. Like, yo, he just did some dirt. This means he did something bad. We take the dirt, the bad, and then we turn it into something that is balanced. See, I didn't say good. So that's the final lesson. Actually, before you get, until you get that, it doesn't even begin. See, it took me years to realize that, you know, but, you know, you want to wear this white robe and then people are still talking about Lennon Honor situation from 7 years ago as if they've never done anything wrong, never anything ever happened. Me and Lennon already spoke. It's like still living in the past. And now I'm light years ahead. I'm lapping the realities. And then I'm still seeing, though, that there's some innovation that needs to be done here. And I'm an instrumental part of that. That is something that I believe, and nothing can taint that belief. I can live in this own, my own air, this own bubble, this own nucleus. And many of us have learned to do that. When you're a creator and you're eclectic, you do that. You live in that. You breathe your own air because no one else is going to give you any kind of oxygen and any kind of leeway most of the time to create and do what you need to do. But I will say, though, the resistance, AstroQuest, secret energy has been very instrumental in doing that for each other, meaning that I've received so much great energetic response from the people who are involved in this platform and what we've created that is even beyond words, that my story is different. Our story is different. We've come together in agreement on one thing, nothing short of total consciousness, nothing short of world enlightenment. That's the mission. And we will not desist until the last breath is drawn, and then something else is created that can even work even more diligently at it. So that's what we're talking about. Last thing here, because I think we got a little minute on the clock, and what's going to always happen is the kind of music just rolls over me, so I'm looking for it to happen here. But we're going to talk about really briefly the top things of how to that prevent you from astral traveling. Now, just so you understand, astral travel is not always coming out of the body and you see yourself in this weird space. We've talked about that on another episode. You got to understand, astral travel is at time just allowing your consciousness to have the ability to go somewhere and begin to get more space, get out of that shell or box, and then begin to process something greater. So one, lack of belief. If you have a lack of belief that this stuff that I'm telling you today is possible, if you think it's fictitious and part of Marvel Comics, you're mistaken. It's the only thing that I've ever been here for is to tell you it's real. Now, you may not be able to get it to happen on cue, but definitely something's up and you have these strange, weird powers and abilities that you can spend infinity on figuring out how to perfect. Balance is something that you have to do daily. Number two, fear. Fear is indeed the mind controller. It will cause, it will shut down and withdraw your system. It will pull your kundalini deep down into the coccyx and throw strata on top of it. To get rid of it, simply tighten the sphincter. Multi-orgasmic man. Learn how to close that lower chakra and root lock if you're having that fear-based thing going on when you're trying to ascend or you're using chakra-activating substances such as breath. Three, prana. If you're low on fuel, this is a light vehicle, if you may. So you need gas. The gas it runs on is prana, not chicken grease. So remember, keep an available amount of prana by understanding how to do the proper breathing techniques. Four, the configuration, meaning your food, your bed, the magnetic mapping. If you're trying to do this in the travel to when you're asleep, one, eating late, is a no-no. If the organs are processing something, they're definitely not going to be able to vibrate to get you out of the body. Second thing is the bed. You got to figure out what direction of your bed, your direction your bed needs to go in. Study a little bit about feng shui in the bedroom. Because if your bed is facing right at the door, if your bed's right there where the bathroom door is, you got to position the bed properly in order for you to get the maximum amount of liftoff potential at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning when the sun starts making its way up through the horizon. Second thing, the magnetic mapping. If you happen to live in an area that has a lot of nature and you just so happen to have a natural water supply running underneath your house, you can map that channel with hematite magnets, you know, get you some cheap, they're cheap, hematite magnets. You can pull that right under your bed. All you do is you just make up, you draw a line, you make the line of the magnetite all the way under the bed, and then it'll pull that in. And that actually is the channel that you travel down when you go into this animalistic state. That means that the body is shut off, and now it's time to play. The next thing is, if you're in a high rise, remember, the soul cannot unpack. Our good friend Daniel Winter was very instrumental in explaining to us that many of our souls are pretty big, and living in these huge steel structures doesn't allow them to unpack. You just watch them kind of cluttered up in the room. So to remedy that kind of situation, look to get something like a grounding blanket, because that allows you to get rid of a lot of the static and a lot of the free radicals that are going on with the body so that you can ground out properly. This is the same thing of when we deal with chips, computer chips. We have to put a grounding strap on because the static electricity from the body is enough to burn out the chip. This is the same kind of static electricity that we're talking about. So if you have one of those, you know, crazy blankets that where you rub your feet on and you see the static electricity going everywhere, it looks interesting and it looks definitely like you got electric coming from the body. But just remember, you need to ground that out in order to have the proper ground for the takeoff. Last thing, a question was asked about spasms in the base of the spine. This person said that they didn't actually hurt. And then another person commented that they do have somewhat of a pain near the coccyx. And it's what that is about is that's about that there's when you're building kundalini, especially for the first time, many have their kundalini blocked. Chakras are blocked. They're like screws that are rusted. And then, you know, someone comes and tries to turn that screw, and it's just like, you know, you need some WD-40. And, you know, that actually becomes, you know, certain kind of techniques that you use to go through the blockages. But it's not always physical, meaning it's not always, hey, just breathe more. Some of those blockages are there because of things that have happened during those times. Remember, the chakras are developed in the being in certain stages. So the root chakra is developed between the age of 1 and 7. That's also the stage that we find ourselves in this particular culture, in this particular reality, the most vulnerable to many different things, like suggestions from MK Ultra, all the way to molestations, to all types of things from family members, etc., happen during that period. And then when that chakra seals itself and the next chakra is developed, all of that, whatever took place, is still in that chakra. And this is why to clear that chakra, you often have to go through some kinds of experiences or some kind of clearance that begin to remove that experience. So that way it unlocks itself and begins to move. And likewise, the other chakras, they have that same kind of situation. So we're nearing the end of the show, unfortunately, but the beginning of your amazing life again after the show. And I just wanted to say to everyone that, you know, I do my best. There's a lot of moving parts to this. It's quite interesting. Like, I think that one day I will somehow be able to transmit to everyone just what goes on from a daily basis in this kind of operation. It's not as simple as many may think, although I don't think people think it's simple. We get thousands of emails and contacts a week. We're responsible for maintaining this financially, spiritually, motivationally. So there's different aspects of how we need to keep this together. I feel personally that it's well worth it in so many different dynamics because people have truly benefited from it. We get tons of emails and messages every day from people saying how it's transformed that life, their life. So it's giving us the indicator that we're doing something balanced. Notice I didn't say right, because if it's right, then you got to figure out what happened to left, as we talk about. So that's all I have to say for now. I want to say wholeness and balance vibration to everyone. I wanted to send a big thank you to all those who've been in, you know, since the beginning. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, Son, Luis, Pablo, I mean, the list of Miriam, Keyshawn, man, my wife, David, Muna, John, Jack. I mean, I could just go all day, you know, it's like listening to the end of one of those rap songs. It's like, yo, I want to give a shout out to Brooklyn. But see, it should get more like that, to where the amount of us that are involved in this and the kind of innovation that we use and the different angles in which we come from, meaning that people from all walks of life, all demographics should be involved. Like, just because you don't know, you know, the Injil by heart, or, you know, you can't scry, it doesn't mean that you don't have a place in this. Just because you can't fly out of the body, you know, at will, it doesn't mean you don't have a place in this. In fact, that shows you that you are something unique. And just remember, the last little secret for today is that the Wizard of Oz is actually the German god. That word Oz is the German god, or the Aesir. And what that lets you know is that behind this construct, there are those who attempt to manipulate your consciousness using technology, using wars, using plague, using famine, anything else. But it's just some old person. Meaning the metaphor is someone who is weak and unstable, trying to control external rather than internal, pushing a bunch of buttons, using smoke and mirrors to keep you deluded and not aware of who you really are. And what this conversation was about today is that now there's no real place to look except for within. You know, you can listen to the videos or whatever. You can listen to the audios or whatever. But the only thing they're going to tell you is that this is all about you. And it's about how you apply this knowledge. If you're looking for power, if you're looking for infinite existence, this is something that's already guaranteed. This is your lot. Receive it.
Come to be tied, come in the likeness in the image of God, 'cause you can be like that, with all that humbleness and all that.